Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Switchcraft is brought to you by Kimbalina66. Support Switchcraft and my other content for as little as a dollar and get exclusive rewards over at patreon.com/runjumpstomp. Episode 149 of Switchcraft is brought to you by OP Seat. Head on over to opseat.com/ref/runjumpstomp to directly support the show and get a fantastic gaming chair that can support you. I'm sitting in one right now and it is great. Okie dokie. Switchcraft is normally recorded live three times a week on Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern and on Saturday at whatever time I can get around to it. However, this week has been crazy. I've been doing a lot of different stuff, and because of that, I've been recording the shows a little bit early in the day in order to give me time to do some other stuff. But that being said, make sure that you head on over to twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. Once you're there, you'll be greeted by fantastic people. People like Vaxxer, who is clearly a bot. Awate86, who just subscribed. Thank you very much for 5 months of support, Awate86. And Vaxxer also subscribed for 5 months over there. Aerslia, Link31254, who just got my logo tattooed on his, I'm going to assume, arm. Otherwise, it's a really skinny leg, I'm not sure. Pudding, TF Wagner, and all the lurkers, I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much. Let's start with a quick little message I received on Twitter. At Nintendo Pix tweeted at me. They said, "Hey, Run Jump Stomp, a game that I'm looking for on Switch would be the Batman Arkham Trilogy." Those are great games, and I have to agree. I really enjoyed, I played Batman Arkham Asylum. I played Batman Arkham Asylum and I 100%ed the game. And that's something I never do. I never go through and get all the collectibles and stuff. But Batman Arkham Asylum was so well crafted that I just had to keep playing it. And I absolutely loved every moment of playing that game. And then Batman Arkham City, I never finished it. I didn't feel like it was as good as Arkham Asylum, but it was still a really good game. And then the last one I never played because the PC port was so terrible and I didn't have any quote-unquote next-gen consoles at the time that it came out. So I just kind of skipped that one. So I would love to see the trilogy come to the Switch. And if, for those of you that aren't familiar with that game, it's a very Metroidvania-style game. And I know people bandy that term around a lot. But it's a Metroidvania-style game that also has a really great combat system where when you're playing it, Batman kind of has heightened senses. So you can sense these incoming punches and there's very fluid combat. And they made the combat look like they did like in the movies where Batman is just destroying people with his insane move list, basically. And they made it in a way that you could pull it off and it makes you feel really, really powerful. And you keep upgrading your character and getting new gadgets and finding new ways to deciding how to upgrade your character. And it's really fun. It's a really, really fun game with a very great story. And of course, it's got Mark Hamill plays the Joker. And oh my gosh, I can't remember the guy who plays Batman, but it's the same guy that played Batman from the cartoons in the 90s, which I loved. But Mark Hamill as the Joker is just amazing. I really, really enjoyed Arkham Asylum. And you know what? That's a great call, Nintendo Pix, is the Batman games. I would love to have those on the Switch, especially if they could do it like as a package that had all three games. That would be perfect. Now, the latest game in the series got a really bad port to PC, and it makes me worry as to how well that would those games would be ported to the Switch. I mean, there's really no way for us to know ahead of time. I hope that Rocksteady does not use whatever development team that they used in order to port that game over, but I think it's a good idea. If you're looking for ways to get a hold of me, you can do just like Nintendo Picks did by at RunJumpStomp on Twitter. You can email me, runjumpstomp@gmail.com. You can call and leave a voicemail at 260-RUN-JUMP. That's 260-786-5867. And of course, you can join the Discord over at runjumpstomp.com/Discord. And, you know, you can see Link's new tattoo.
I'm number one.
All right, let's start off today's episode by talking about Super Mario Odyssey has been updated to, I think it's 1.2.1 or something like that. But it adds in, it fixes a couple of bugs, and it adds in new outfits as well as Luigi's Balloon World. And that's really what I want to talk about the most today. Nintendo announced this via a Twitter update, and actually they talked about it during the Nintendo Mini Direct back in January. But if you don't know what Luigi's Balloon World is, basically it's a patch to Super Mario Odyssey where they've added Luigi to the game. And no, you can't play as Luigi, but what you can do is go and talk to him. And he has this mini game that you can play, and it's a really cool mini game. I played it a bunch this morning. And basically, he will give you a balloon and you have 30 seconds to go hide it. Now, every coin that you pick up adds 3 seconds to your timer. So if you want to get that balloon just a little bit further away from the starting point, then you want to try and map out your run ahead of time and figure out exactly where it is that you're going to go. And you can try multiple times if you want. Just, you know, when the counter's counting down, if you're like, well, I didn't get it quite where I wanted, just pause it and do retry and keep doing it until you're happy with where it is that you hide it. So you go and you hide the balloon, and that uploads that balloon's location to the server. Then the other mode is the find mode, and that's where he gives you 30 seconds to go and find a balloon. You get to pick which balloon that you want to find from a list, or you can share a code with a friend, and then they can go and look for your balloon. I do wish that there was a way to filter the list to say, just show me my friend's balloons, but I didn't see a way to do that. So I guess what you'll have to do is share your code. Now, if you've joined our Discord, which is runjumpstomp.com/Discord, once you go there, there is a channel. I believe it's called Super or Mario Balloon World or something like that. You'll see the channel. And in there, you guys can post your codes. I don't know if you have to, I haven't gotten anyone else's code yet, but I don't know if you have to say what world it's in or if you could just put in the code and it'll take you to the right world. I'm not sure, but you guys can share your codes there, and you earn coins both in both modes. So you earn coins by hiding a balloon, and then every time that somebody goes to find your balloon, you will earn some coins. And you can also earn coins by finding balloons, and you get like multipliers where if you find multiple balloons in a row, you'll get extra coins, or every time that you level up, you get extra coins. And this is really important because along with this patch of hiding and finding these balloons, there is, I think, 3 new outfits for the game. And if you add up the cost of buying all of the outfits, it's 14,000 coins, which when I first saw that, I was like, oh, no, really? I've got to farm coins for that? I'm probably never going to get those. But when I was playing, like I hid three balloons, I think, and maybe it was 4. I can't remember now. And then I was just playing to get balloons, and it was really fun to do that. But what I found out was every once in a while, you'll just, like Luigi will be like, hey, you just earned 12 coins. Hey, you just earned 150 coins. Hey, you just earned 30 coins or whatever. And it adds up pretty quickly. So what I recommend that you do if you want to earn those 14,000 coins, which, by the way, is you have to max it out first. So don't try and save up 14,000 because the max that you can get is 9,999. So what you want to do instead is, you know, go buy the stuff as you get the money for it. But go to every world, play Balloon World or whatever it's called. Go to Every World and talk to Luigi. And then while you're there, you can hide a balloon in every world, and then other people are going to try and find that balloon. And I believe that you get extra money if people try and find it but don't. So you definitely want to make it hard to find. Otherwise, people would just put the balloon like right outside and they'd get a lot more money that way. Now, that being said, it looks like this is now the best way to make money in the game. So I guess there were a lot of people who were grinding coins in Bowser's Kingdom, trying to get as much money as they could so they could unlock the super expensive stuff like the skeleton outfit or something like that. Bear in mind that there are some glitches with this, reportedly. I don't know if it's true. I haven't run into this, but people are saying, they're speculating that you can hide balloons inside walls or under the ground, by kind of glitching the system. And that'll mean that people can't find it. And first off, if you're the kind of person that does that, then you're a jerk and you should shut off the show and never listen again, because I don't want you around. That's just lame. Don't do it that way. Play the game the way that it's meant to be played. But Nintendo, you got to figure out a way to fix this. If it's true, you got to figure out a way to fix this, because that it's definitely an issue if that's true. And I'll let you guys know if I hear anything different. But from my, I don't know, I've probably played it for a half an hour this morning. I had a lot of fun hiding those balloons. And at some point in the future, I'm probably going to do a stream over on my Twitch channel where I'll just be finding balloons that people who are watching are hiding for me. So maybe I'll make like a Google Doc or something, and people can add their stuff to their codes to the list, and I can go and find them on stream. And that'll be fun, because you'll hide them and then you can watch me try over and over and over again to try and find it. So look forward to that. Well, speaking of Batman, there is the DC Super Heroes DLC pack coming to Rocket League. It comes out on March 5th, and it's going to be featuring two Batmobiles, and as well as the Flash car. And I think it's going to have other stuff too. And these things look really, really good. Like, I think it was Casual Cleric posted in the Discord, I believe it was on Tuesday. He was like, did you talk about this on the show? And I said, no, I didn't really care. And then I watched the video that he posted, and I was like, oh man, those look really cool. So it also comes with like 20 plus customization items. But it's got the 1989 Batmobile from, you know, the Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Batman movie, which was scored by Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo. There's a little bit of trivia for you. And it shows, it also has the tumbler from the Dark Knight movie, which is, you know, a really cool looking model. And then, you know, they kind of did that one more thing and then showed the Flash car at the end, which looks really, really good. I'm hoping that they're going to also have, like, you know, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, maybe a Superman car. All of that stuff would look really good. And I think that of all of the companies out there that are doing DLC, there's two companies that I feel like I feel like the best job with it. One of those is Nintendo. I feel like Nintendo's DLC is almost always worth it. I feel like they do a really good job at giving you a good amount for your money. And then another company, and it's not just these two companies, it's just these are the two that I'm going to talk about, is Psyonix. But Psyonix, they just do such a great job with DLC. I mean, they've got the Back to the Future car. They've got like that Hot Wheels stuff. And I think overall, I think that Psyonix does such a great job with the DLC. And it doesn't matter if you buy any of it, because it's all just cosmetic. It does not affect the game. Everybody can play equally. And that is the kind of DLC that I want to support, because it just allows me to make my game just a little bit different than yours. But it doesn't actually change the gameplay. And that's an important thing. And that's why I feel like Rocket League has a really good DLC system. Another company that I would say that does things like that the right way. And there's going to be people who don't agree with me on this, but is Blizzard. You know, like you play Overwatch and everybody is on a level playing field. No matter how long you've played, no matter how much money you have, everybody is on the level playing field because everybody has access to the same characters, and they still sell DLC in the form of these cool skins or spray tags or voice lines, which are, you know, really cool looking, but they don't affect gameplay. And not only that, but you can just save up your coins that you get from playing the game anyway, and then buy exactly the skin that you want. And I feel like that's really the best way to go, is the same thing that Rocket League and Overwatch is doing. Like, those are really good ways to do DLC and or loot boxes. You know, we'll use a dirty word here. We're going to say loot boxes because those are both games that have loot boxes, but the loot boxes don't affect the gameplay at all. And you look at games like Star Wars Battlefront 2, which definitely the loot boxes do affect gameplay. Like, technically it does. When I was playing, it didn't really feel like I was being affected because I was having fun and I didn't know if the other person was overpowered or not. It didn't feel like anybody was overpowered. But that being said, I really, really like this DC Super Heroes DLC pack that's just coming to Rocket League. And I think it might be one that I'll pick up. I'm looking, I don't see a price, so we'll have to let you know when that is, or when that comes out. So I was between segments. This isn't going to be in the show notes at all, but in chat, Vaxxer said it would be fun if they made some Star Wars game for the Switch. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I'd never actually recorded it or said it online or anything. But there are rumors that Disney, unhappy with how EA handled Star Wars Battlefront 2, there's rumors that they are going to be shopping the franchise for Star Wars around to other publishers and seeing if they can find somebody else. Now, these are just rumors. You know, I've got no inside knowledge, and I doubt anybody really does have inside knowledge, but there's these rumors, and I just want to take a second to talk about what I think that they should be doing. And here's what I think that Disney should do. I don't think that they should give anybody exclusive rights. I think that what they ought to do is hire some game developers, or maybe just have some people who probably used to work at LucasArts or something like that get like a council together, and then allow people to try to put in an application to develop a Star Wars game. So you could say that, you know, because I just got done talking about Psyonix, I'll say Psyonix. Maybe Psyonix wants to make a new Star Wars racing game or something. And they would, you know, they would make their white paper and all of their development plans and stuff like that. And they would take it to this team, and the team would look over the development plans, and they would say, yes, this is okay, or no, this is not okay, and then bring it back to us when you make some changes. And so then Psyonix goes off and they start, maybe they've been okayed and they start doing some process, and maybe every 3 months or so they have to go back with another check-in to make sure that Disney is okay with where the direction that they're going with the game. You know, Disney gets final say, but they don't have to do any of the work. And why would this be good? Well, it would be good for a couple of reasons. First off, I think that you would get a lot more varied Star Wars experiences, and they would not all have to have storylines that mix in or don't mix in with the canonical lore of Star Wars, which Disney has completely upended and kind of starting over after they got rid of everything that happened in the extended universe. And now they're just picking and choosing the things that they want. And I think it would be good to give a lot of different developers the ability to handle this Star Wars stuff. And I'm sure that Nintendo would be able to give us something amazing to play on the Switch, especially we've got red and blue Joy-Cons, for crying out loud. It screams some kind of lightsaber game. You know, it's got the gyroscopic motion controls. It could be really good. It could be terrible too. You never know. But giving all of the power to one company to make, I think, is a huge mistake. And I hope that Disney doesn't do this. I hope that if this is true, that means we'll get some Star Wars games on the Nintendo Switch. And if nothing else, we could at least get some people to port like the Knights of the Old Republic games or something like that to the Switch, because those are games that would run on the Switch very well. I mean, they've already been ported to phones and stuff, and there's some of the best RPGs ever made. So Fire Emblem Heroes has made 5 times as much money as Super Mario Run, and this is really a battle between two pricing models, or not pricing models, but monetization models, ways that they price the game. So both games are free-to-play games. You can start playing Super Mario Run, no cost to you, and then if you decide that you like the game, you pay $10, you get the whole game. That's model one. Model two is Fire Emblem Heroes model, where you basically play the game, you get orbs by playing the game, you can take those orbs and use them to either increase your stamina so that you can play for a longer period of time, or to use them to buy characters, which or buy a chance at a random character. I'm sorry, excuse me. Okay, so those are the two ways of doing it. One, you pay once, you're all done, and the second, you continually pay if you want to. Now I made a YouTube video about this. It's probably about 8 or 10 minutes long, so I'm not going to do the whole, I don't want to talk about this for 8 or 10 minutes here. If you want to go watch the YouTube video, just head on over to youtube.com/runjumpstomp. Mikey piped up in the Discord, and he, because I was kind of critical of Fire Emblem Heroes and their monetization model, and Mikey on Discord said, "I am ready to defend Fire Emblem Heroes. The only top tier hero I'm missing is Brave Lin, and I've spent $0. I like it significantly more than Super Mario Run as a game. If you ever really play it, they're actually very generous with orbs. So I guess all I'm saying is monetization model hasn't affected me hardly at all. And I think Fire Emblem Heroes is a deeper game with way more content than Super Mario Run. The story does suck, though. I don't even read it anymore. I just click through and enjoy the Fire Emblem light." So why am I talking about this? Well, we've got a new mobile game coming from Nintendo, which I've talked about before, and that was Mario Kart Tour. And we were kind of having this discussion a couple weeks ago on the Discord as to what monetization model is Nintendo going to go with. Now, what I would personally want them to do is to go with the same model that they used for Super Mario Run. Give a couple tracks for free, and then do a $10 purchase and you buy all the rest of the tracks. I think that's the best one for the consumer. However, what is much more likely is that they will probably give you the whole game for free, and then you will probably earn, I don't know, gasoline or something. I don't know what the currency would be, probably coins. I don't know why I said gasoline. So you would earn the Mario coins, and using those Mario coins, you could then buy like wheels and like the gliders and the different carts and things like that. So that's what I'm hoping for, is that we don't go with that model, but you never know what's going to happen. Maybe they'll go with the same model that Blizzard uses for Overwatch, where you're playing the game and you earn coins. And if you want to buy a loot box that contains that stuff, you can, or you can just use your coins for it. I'm not sure. So I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I got a bunch of emails sending me the same link to the same article about Smash Brothers. There's some rumors that we're going to be getting a Smash this year, and it's started by Emily Rogers. She posted on Resetera, which is the reboot of NeoGAF, and basically she said, "Unfortunately, I don't have enough information to speculate whether Smash Brothers will be branded / marketed as a deluxe definitive edition port or a half sequel or a full sequel. I can only confirm 2 things. Number one, a Smash Brothers title will be announced and released for Switch later this year. And two, they added brand new content and reworked some of the existing Wii U / 3DS content. To me, And now I'm talking about me, not Emily Rogers anymore. To me, it seems like this is just pure speculation on her part. This is exactly the same thing that I said, 58 times on the show, probably, is that that's what we're going to get with Smash Brothers. We're going to get a port of Smash Brothers 4, which was on the Wii U and 3DS. They're going to take those two, mash them together, and probably add in a couple of new characters and a couple of new stages. It's a safe bet to say that. And I'm not going to pretend that I have any sources. I'm not saying that she's lying about her sources. There's been a couple times where she has hit the nail on the head, and there's been a couple times where she's completely missed the boat. But, you know, she seems to have some insider knowledge sometimes. The only reason I talk about it is because a lot of people sent me a link to the story. Now, do I think that we're going to get a Smash Brothers this year? Probably. I think that we probably will. I think it'll be heavily featured at E3. If it's not heavily featured at E3, we probably won't get one at all this year, and it'll be next year. But I'm pretty sure we're just going to get a port of the Wii U version, and it'll come with all the stuff that was on the 3DS version, and they'll add in some new characters and backgrounds, or not backgrounds, but stages. And I think that's a safe bet. That's like saying, I think Square's going to delay Final Fantasy VII Remake again. No one would be surprised if that happened. And I really don't think anybody would be surprised if we got a Smash Brothers on the Switch this year. It's one of Nintendo's best selling franchises ever. So, I mean, why wouldn't they? All right, one last thing before I go, and that is that I got a review code for The Final Station. It is from Tiny Build. It's one of the six games that Tiny Build announced, I think it was last week, or maybe it was the week before. But I got a review code for the game. I haven't had a chance to review it yet, but there is a preview. It's like the first 20 minutes of gameplay. I posted it to YouTube, so head on over to youtube.com/runjumpstomp, or you can just click the link in the show notes and you can see what the first 20 minutes of the game is like. My review won't be ready right away. I've got too much stuff that I have to take care of, but I will get my review done as soon as possible, and I'll talk about it on the show as well as post it to YouTube. But my initial impressions are that it is really fun. Really fun if you've got a pro controller. I did not like playing it with the Joy-Cons, although I didn't really give it that much of a chance. So anyway, make sure you check out that preview, and let's wrap this up. Well, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. If there's a story that I missed or a topic that you would like discussed, please let me know at one of the ways that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. If you're looking for a way to support the show, head on over to runjumpstomp.com/support. There's lots of ways that you can support there. And one of the ways that you can do that is by joining the Patreon over at patreon.com/runjumpstomp. Also, just share the show with a friend. Thank you guys for listening and hanging out with me. Thanks to chat for hanging out with me while I record. You guys are awesome. And I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.